Was that when it fails?
Ready?
If you're still here, you
okay. Good evening. We'll call this meeting to order, December 4th, 2019. In compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building, distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Would you all please rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence for our service. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First up, presentation of minutes will be tabled tonight during the holidays and snow and the like. They're not with us. So, would there be a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make a motion to open a public comment, limited agenda items only.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Ta-da. Seeing none.
Is there I'll a make a motion to close.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. So we now have a public hearing for Ordinance 2019-08, an ordinance amending Chapter 72 of the Code of the Township of Lebanon, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey. This is a modification to the code pertaining to personnel policies. Would anyone have any discussion to the...
I had a few questions. One of the things that stuck out with me compared it to the old one is, in the old one, there wasn't really much mention at all about CWA. But now you have that work into this.
There are two aspects to that. One is that was a, and I ask the attorney to correct anything I say, that was, I'll say that was something that had to be updated. If you notice toward the end of the ordinance, it refers to the PBA having coverage.
Mm-hmm.
The CWA wasn't mentioned, but the CWA has... they get policies and procedures that are agreed to outside of this ordinance. So by incorporating the ordinance, it says that. The other, again, Matt, correct me on this, where it refers to things where an employee gets benefits in the then currently applicable CWA contract, it's a matter of convenience rather than duplicate the whole CWA contract here, for example, on workers' compensation and non-work disability. We refer them to the CWA contract, and if the CWA contract changes every few years, those changes come to employees not covered by the CWA through this ordinance. It's not meant to limit it. It's really
We're trying to provide that if there are changes negotiated with the bargaining units, we don't have to change the ordinance, that it sort of self lines up to match. Example, if we were to change the holiday schedule, it wouldn't make it would be unusual to have the non-unit people here on a day. It's hard to run the building or whatever. So that if there's a change in the holiday schedule, it would pass through.
I noticed that on this new one, there's no annual physical examination part like was on the old.
Was that in the ordinance?
I was wondering the same thing. I thought maybe it was a HIPAA
big,
thing.
Big, long paragraph.
Part of it was a HIPAA thing. I remember us discussing that.
And the other thing was, I don't get too far, but that they're, what, again, we try to match what we're doing in action with what we have written as code. How vigorously we were enforcing that and monitoring it, and whether we even could continue to do so was the thought behind that.
So what was the thought? We're not going to enforce it, or we're
well,
not going
to. Well, I'm not well versed on how strictly we have been enforcing it.
But they mention in that physical jobs, like that the person should be able to perform this physical job. That's the one I work.
We always have the right to for a functional capacity exam, a fit for duty exam, if it's related to the performance of the job, whether it be a police officer or laborer, even someone who has to use a keyboard or whatnot.
Well, so the more recent things were, you know, some injuries with road department personnel.
Right. A fit for duty, a functional capacity exam based on actual observations and or...
Is that physical part in the CWA contract somewhere?
That's still in the CWA contract, but that's different than an annual physical. I mean, this referred to the township physician performing an annual physical since... And that's dated at least 1995.
Yeah,
we don't have a township physician. So we could have written it to say, you know, under the your primary care physician on your private health plan. But then, as I understand, there are HIPAA rules where you can't...
We can't even get the result. We can't then get the result without a reason for it. So,
and the old ordinance did say the results would be presented to the township, et cetera, and it didn't work anymore under...
We under the law, we have a right to, as you said, Brian, exams that are connected to performance of job. We can't just monitor somebody's health for non-work-related issues and force them to divulge their health history, which in essence is what this was, to say, go get a physical, give it to us, and somebody here would then, I presume, read it or throw it in the drawer. But again, we have our rights as they're related to, I don't know the birth of that language, but obviously the privacy laws have changed since that time frame.
So I just want an explanation because it was completely gone.
Is there any, when it comes to that, do you foresee any type of an example of an issue that could arise because we don't have it in there and we should have had it and we got it wrong?
No, I think that my bigger concern was that we had it in there and we either were enforcing it in creating a HIPAA situation, or we were not enforcing it, and then we don't enforce it across the board. We selectively pick one employee, and we have a selective enforcement issue. I think that keeping it in based on our less than complete adherence to it would create a bigger concern, a bigger threat to us than... removing it.
Okay. I mean, I have some little, like, knit things here just to get answers to questions, but I don't know if you want to just have everybody talk, or do you want me to do mine and somebody else can add to it, or...
Well, to Brian's side, did you have more questions?
Yeah, I'll keep going. Travel expenses, I did talk to Karen a little bit about this because I was unclear about it, of the rules, so on and so forth. I was surprised that... to see that within Hunter County, she wouldn't be compensated for going down to Flemington, you know, to the county clerk and such, where we have, like, for example, DPW, they have to go for parts or something, but they're in a township vehicle, still doing township business. She is performing township business.
I mean, this isn't specific to any specific employee, and I don't think we can have a discussion about a specific employee, but we have other functions that...
Well, you have the township engineer and attorney in here, and obviously they're contractors.
Well, we also have tax assessor, zoning officer. We have people who, fire official, people who this is meant to cover as well. Matt, I don't know if you... It doesn't preclude us from... For example, in the CWA contract, certain functions get travel reimbursement. This is kind of the baseline, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the baseline of benefits, but other benefits can be negotiated on a one-off basis, I believe.
And again, I don't know that in this right now want to negotiate individual contracts. And just to be clear, the attorney and engineer are accepted out. Not, I don't want to think that we're accepted in. But the ordinance is written, Brian recites it properly, that the travel within the county for non-unit, non-employees is not reimbursed under the wording that's included right there. It is not.
So if, for example, in a DPW supervisor contract that says that they can get reimbursed for classes, say, for example, we said something like that, travel for classes. Is that something that's going to go against this?
You're talking about members of the union or non-union?
Or non, either.
Well, again, our endeavor in this whole process, and we're all aware there's a lot, we're doing several things simultaneously that are interconnected, is to try to resolve these things globally, so to speak, so that there's not a conflict between.
I agree.
We are in an unusual situation, however, though, where we have statutory employees, and I don't want to discuss any of them specifically, but that are in the local. Which makes this more complicated.
But maybe then it's a matter of putting that language in here that for travel expenses, something about the CWA, unless the CWA contract dictates otherwise or something like that.
Isn't that captured by 72.5 collective bargaining agreement?
Let's see how that reads. I guess such benefits as...
We really have three categories, though, because we have the non-unit, the non-union positions. We have the rank and file, so to speak, and then we have the statutory positions that are included in the union. So, but that 72.5 would be the catch-all for the members and the locals, both locals.
One final thing. 16 hours of personal time was on the other one. Is that, did that go away or did that get put somewhere?
16 hours?
Yeah.
There's personal days, four personal days.
Yeah, they had 16 hours personal time, the way they spelled it out on the old 1995 one. Basically, right before the effective date of the benefit.
This is 32.
Disappeared.
This is 48.
At 16 hours.
It looks like one
of the days. It was just one little short sentence. It was odd.
Yeah,
it was stuck out.
Yeah, but it's just one. It says four personal days.
Yeah, it was a different one. Yeah. Is that where it's at now?
Here it is. Here's the old one, if you need to look at the old one.
And you're saying it was...
Where is it, Beth, in the old one?
It would have been...
I just found it.
Right above 72.7, effective date of benefit.
Personal time was 16 hours? That was specific to part-time employees then, right?
It was under that section, so...
Yeah. I mean, it would have been...
That was the match union issues where there isn't any, right?
Yeah.
72-62C, or D, rather, which would mean it only applies to part-time employees.
But you do see it?
I do see it on this.
Yeah, that's in the 72-6, correct.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that could overlook
that. That was put in when the law changed that required us to change that.
So are we changing that?
No, I think he's...
It's not there anymore. Right? As I read it, it's not there. Because I thought that was the whole thing we had issue with. There isn't any.
Okay, so wasn't that already replaced when we updated this ordinance for the mandatory sick leave?
I thought so.
Well, this I pulled from the website, so this is what's out there. You know, that's I pulled it from the internet site.
Okay.
Unless the latest isn't in there. I don't have our books are in the process of being updated, so.
Yeah, so I didn't know what happened with that.
Yeah, I don't know if my books are telling me.
But the whole 76.2, the whole part-time employee benefits isn't reprinted. I know it is. Sorry, never mind.
Yeah, I
checking
do.
In.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm looking at the book version inclusive of the C and D that Brian referred to. I don't know.
Didn't remember that we intended to make any changes in the paragraph, so I,
no, certainly
so I didn't notice that was.
Well, we'll have to, certainly there shouldn't be any action to remove those two, C and D, from the policy. The equivalency of vacation hours and personal time of 16 hours.
72.6
capital C, capital D.
Add them back in, is what you're saying.
Correct.
Yeah.
If this was published...
Well, what we can do is we can consider that this, and we'd have to deal with those separately. Meaning, it is a change to what we had advertised. Doesn't preclude us from taking action on the items that are contained in the ordinance as presented. But I would certainly want to make sure we add back these
in a future action.
Correct.
So we already advertised for this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was introduced last meeting. So that's what I was just trying to confirm, because if we make significant changes, then we have to re-advertise, which right. potentially...
I would say that anything that adds to or obligates the township, we need to codify and advertise.
Okay, so if we pass this tonight, we would then in a future...
Well, we could
interaction.
Correct, but we could. It's so brief, and I have it in front of me. If we want to verbatim read it in, we could do that tonight and have a public hearing before the end of the year if Karen can get everything.
I would want to. Because both C and D are missing, correct?
Correct.
And what's confusing me is in our collective bargaining agreement, the expired collective bargaining agreement, part-time workers are defined separately. If you're over a certain threshold, you get paid vacation as in C, and you get prorated personal time as in D. If you're under 20 hours a week, you don't get those benefits. As I recall. And now I'm reading this ordinance wondering if that's counter to our collective bargaining agreement. I guess I'd
that's why I thought they were gone, to be honest with you, because I
match
so
it up
much,
with
we had that issue with the
yeah.
Two employees ago with it.
Yeah, and yep. Again, not to discuss that in detail, but,
yeah.
But that's
it was an attempt to marry up those provisions.
I'd be inclined, rather than to read them in verbatim immediately tonight, that we take that for follow-up action. We either pull the whole thing or we take action on what we have in front of us and then review that at the next available meeting. And I say that because we couldn't do it December 18th into January. We'd have to do it.
No, we could not.
January into the first.
No, we'd have to start and end it in the same calendar year process.
Yeah. So then you can get back to your question, but I think the proposal would be to consider enacting what's in front of us and to review C and D for future action. But now let's finish up the discussions. Was that, you got to the end of it?
Yeah.
Anybody else have anything before I start?
Go ahead.
It's just, it's a bunch of, you know, just little things here and there. And again, it's like, I don't know if it's supposed to be out or it's just typos or whatever. Under 72-2 benefits, full family coverage under the state health benefits program at the tier provided under the CWA contract and associated prescription plan. Number one, the word PPO was in this ordinance, the preferred provider option. I think that's what it stood for.
Yeah.
It's not in here now.
Just because the state has changed the tier since 1995.
Okay. All right. Is it, you know, I think some of the stuff, and you probably have the answer to this one too, but sometimes we mention CWA contract, other times we mention PBA, but we don't, like in this case, why would you not also say CWA contract and PBA? Is it different?
They're oftentimes different, and the PBA really only applies to PBAs. They're on a different work schedule, you know, the Pittman hours, they measure their sick time in hours, et cetera. It wouldn't apply to any other employees other than PBA members.
Okay, so this whole prescription plan thing, this whole benefits with family coverage and all that, the PBA, we wouldn't want to say anything about PBA in there, we'd just leave it CWA?
Unless you're proposing to let an employee pick which one they'd want, which I propose we not, I'd propose we offer them one good quality plan. They happen to be the same today, but they could diverge.
All right, so just to get it right, so then the full family coverage under the state health benefits program at the tier provided under the CWA contract would go for both? Like this is one plan, but you'd allow the PBA people to be in this plan?
The PBA is in the plan that's negotiated in the PBA contract.
So we wouldn't mention that here at all? Because that's what I'm trying to figure out.
That's covered under 72-5.
But the thing is it seems like these benefits are covering everybody. It's like the code. That's why I'm saying sometimes there's CBA in here and sometimes there's CWA, but it seems like if they're saying benefits, the category is benefits, full-time employees. Are the police not full-time employees?
Yes, and under 72-5, they're carved out for the benefits that they negotiate in their collective bargaining agreement.
So maybe we have to say that here just so that it doesn't seem like, oh, I'm a full-time employee, so I guess I follow this. It seems to me that this is...
That's why we carved out the collective bargaining units in 72-5.
Then say that maybe in here. Say C-72-5 for...
Or just say C-72-5. Is the PBA local money or 386?
Yeah, that 188 is from a long time ago.
I think the 386.
Yeah, it's 386. Yeah. Hooksbury is 386.
Yeah,
I think
these guys are 386.
Yeah. It just seems like this, as I'm reading through it, I was jumping all over the place, and I'm trying to put a category onto something.
Well, the purpose is to cover the non-unit employees, and we make reference, again, the references to the collective bargaining units, particularly to CWA, is to anticipate potential or possible changes over the life of the township so that when there are accommodations or changes made in a collective bargaining unit that the non-union employees get married up to those positions again, so that for staffing purposes and coverage purposes and things of that nature. And as the mayor said, the thought is that the majority of the non-union employees work in a more standard work setting, such as the CWA, as opposed to the PBA with the 24/7 coverage and the different nature of the duties that are performed, primarily the work schedule.
What did you say? What was the wording you said, like, that we could add?
Well, I think you're looking at it from the wrong perspective.
Well, I'm looking at it as if I came in here as a new employee and I saw, okay,
but are
benefits.
You union or non-union?
Yeah, that's...
Because if you're non-union, if you're a non-union employee, these are your... Because you wouldn't be a non-union employee working in here, I'll just say, sweeping the floor. Just,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Right.
And follow the PBA contract. you would be following the CWA contract. That's why it's referencing that person is going to follow the CWA contract. We wouldn't put the CWA contract and PBA contract.
But as a, like you're saying, as a non-union full-time employee, is that what you're saying?
Non-union, well, however it's saying, full-time employee, yes.
So if they're...
This is intended to cover that person that would be coming in here as a full-time, as I read it, and as
non-union.
I understood, non-union.
But so then they're going to be following the union plan, though.
Correct. That's going to be following the CWA contract, what's ever been negotiated in that contract.
Okay.
So we have to reference a contract. Right. If you reference both contracts, then you get the cherry pick between two contracts.
Well, then it's kind of almost full-time employees, whether union or non-union. You know, that's what was, because it's this
we're
category.
We're in an odd situation where most of our full-time employees are also union. This is kind
right,
of
like, most.
Yeah.
Some aren't, though.
Yeah, well, pretty much.
I mean, I just, it's not.
It's an error, it, you know, it's, you know, so that's.
Well, the supervisors.
Right, well, that's what I mean. So it follows, then the supervisor follows the contract of the CWA with that. It's spelling that out as I view it. It's not intended to.
I mean, Matt, the way ordinances work, you have to take the whole ordinance together, right? A new employee can't come in and read the first paragraph and say, oh, so I must get this.
I mean, clearly, the rights of the members of the CWA are collectively bargained for. So, you know, we can't simply impose certain restrictions on them without having dealt with them in the process. But, yeah, I mean, the ordinance has to be taken in its totality and read as such.
So the fact that 72-5 is the fifth section instead of the first section doesn't matter. It says if you're in a collective bargaining agreement, you get those benefits.
Right.
I would just to clarify it, that's what I would say at the end. I would say see section 72-5 to clarify.
I don't think that making that reference without changing the content, it would be substantial. Like if you're saying at 72-2, you want to say for PBA and CWA, C72-5.
That's what I would say. That's what I would say. That would do it for me.
You're not changing the terms.
Right.
You're giving the reader a reference point.
Right.
So if they're lazy and don't want to read the whole thing. It's my opinion.
We can talk about it later. Okay, that does it for me. Then, let's see, read this. Okay. So it used to say in 72-2B, the second from. Okay, there were two things that were changed, and I just want to make sure that it wasn't just a typo or something. Third line up, it starts, vacation leave shall accrue effectively January 1st, but it used to be on the employee's service date.
Correct.
So we changed it.
We've changed it.
Okay.
Because functionally we don't track every employee's service date.
Okay. Then it says... an employee shall have the option of carrying over up to 10 vacation days, when it used to say all or any. Did we change it to 10? All or any vacation days is what this says.
Yes, we changed it to 10.
Okay. So in other words, if they had... Yeah, that's about the carryover situation. Like, if you don't want it to be more than... It's basically... carrying over up to 10. So this way kind of caps it. Okay. Okay, then the last line, it says an employee who is a CWA member shall also have the option of receiving, I think there's a mistake here, receiving in lieu of vacation pay. It doesn't say pay in lieu of vacation. What does it say? Option of receiving... doesn't say what they're receiving.
In lieu of vacation pay. Yep,
it's a type. What was the word that was supposed to be in there? I think I put the word pay. Option of receiving pay in lieu of vacation time, should it be? What did it say before?
Where are you at right now?
72.2B.
Yeah, the word pay dropped out from the original.
B?
Receiving pay.
Pay in lieu of time off. And then here it says pay in lieu of vacation pay. So it should be pay in lieu of time off.
I didn't know if that was a legal term to say receiving in lieu of vacation pay. Do you see where we are, Matt?
I do. I'm going back. You're in the not in the last sentence. You're next to last.
It's back. Like the
correct.
Third line from the top
option
of the page.
The current draft says option of receiving in lieu of vacation pay.
In accordance with the...
And it probably should say of receiving pay in lieu of vacation time. So we're not saying pay time.
Mm. Yeah, that would make sense.
Okay. So.
And did we cover this? Or did I just say that? An employee who is a CWA member shall also have. Oh, that's what we're talking about. The. Receiving pay in lieu of time off. But the other one didn't say CWA. It just said employee, I think. An employee.
Well, there it's because the CWA members negotiate a different benefit. If you read the next sentence, if you're not a CWA member, then it specifies you're entitled to receive pay in lieu of vacation to a maximum of 1 week.
Okay, that's good then. C.
So that's the same wording that should match up on top.
Sure.
That last sentence where it says pay in lieu of vacation, so it should just say pay in lieu of vacation in accordance with the then applicable CWA.
Oh, so get rid of the second word pay and just keep
that's
vacation.
That's what happened. It jumped from one spot to the other.
Then you go down to C. It says a maximum of 10 days paid sick leave each year, but it used to be 8. So did we...
This used to be 8.
Okay.
The CWA has always been 10.
So we're making it...
Functionally, other contracts gave 10.
So we'll keep it 10.
So we went to 10.
Okay. This new addition, employees must... Oh, this is C. We're still on C. Second sentence. Employees must submit a doctor's certification for 3 consecutive days of sick leave. That's new.
Right.
Okay, so... That's new.
And that's a state best practice
it's
recommendation.
State best practice, okay. Unused sick days have no cash value, right? That's new, I know that. 4 personal days have no cash value. That's good. The bereavement days, this was interesting. I saw that it was good we added the domestic partner. But just for the heck of it, I looked it up, and in New Jersey, it's saying, what is that?
It's Brian's phone.
It sounds like a foghorn.
Pretty powerful.
The New Jersey Domestic Partnership Act grants couples certain basic rights to make healthcare decisions, but they have to be either same-sex or opposite-sex couples who have reached the age of 62.
That's why we debated putting it in at
all. Well, exactly. And so there are implications that involve, and I'm not an expert, involves Social Security and entitlement to collect, particularly if you are a widow or widower,
mm-hmm.
and that marriage abolishes those rights, is a carve-out. There's tax federal tax implications of that's what the 62 carve-out is for.
But I would hate to see somebody left out of this situation. Can you use the word loosely? And then if somebody's 35 and they're living with somebody, they can't, it doesn't apply to them.
No, it's to include that second, it's to include both categories.
What other category?
You're saying that It's to provide for any domestic. There are the limitations on domestic partnership under New Jersey law. Those entitled to seek domestic partnership. It's not meant to be exclude any portion of anybody who is a domestic partner.
Well, it says here they have to be 62.
there's a, that, again, we're talking about the domestic, anybody who's entitled to be a domestic partner under New Jersey law is entitled to these bereavement benefits.
Anybody who's entitled to be a domestic partner under
Correct.
The law, which means they have to be 62 or before 2007. Had they had the domestic
correct.
Partnership,
they, when,
then they
when,
could go
when
younger.
Same-sex hadn't been legalized, correct. This does not preclude anybody's rights.
Yeah.
It's written as broadly as it can be written.
Well, I just don't
saying,
want to see...
The domestic partnership law allows opposite gender domestic partnership for people over age 62. The history of that, again, speaks to... IRS rules and Social Security benefits. That's why it was created that way. That was the history of that.
All right. So, but the thing is what in the event of the death of that employee's spouse or domestic partner, if the people are so they'd have to be either 2000 the year 2007. Anybody who entered it before that year could be any age.
Correct.
And up right now.
Anybody who can legally effectuate a domestic partnership in New Jersey under all those permutations is entitled to the bereavement benefit.
And you have to really call it a registered domestic partnership.
I don't believe that that's necessary for the purposes of this ordinance at all.
Well, I'm just trying to avoid situations that people could say, well, you know, we could tell them you can't do this because you're not registered or...
Yeah. Well, again, the intent of the language is to make it as broad as possible to not exclude anybody who meets the definition of domestic partner. I understand the history of the domestic partnership law is protracted and varies over the course of time. The purpose of the language as drafted is to include anybody who meets any of those criteria.
Well, so then it will disqualify certain people.
No, it will not, Bev. Certain people under the growth of the law as it came forward during the balance between the prohibition on same-sex marriage and then the adoption of the domestic partnership law and then the subsequent removal of the prohibition on same-sex marriage created different timelines as you've set forth and different there were different criteria at different times for the domestic partnership. Anybody who meets any of them is entitled to the benefits in this paragraph, these bereavement days. It is not written... The history of the law creates different categories. We are by this language, we are recognizing all of them, granting them all equal benefit under our ordinance.
You're the lawyer if you say so.
I do say so.
All right. Let's see. Oh, this next F.
Right.
No. 72-2F. I think it says if the holiday falls on a Saturday or Sunday, the 4th of July was what I had written here. Something was not right with the 4th of July because it could fall on a Saturday or Sunday, and see some of these are presently New Year's Day, Good Friday, Memorial Day, blah 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 blah, Martin. Day after Thanksgiving. Per the CWA contract, if Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve falls on a Saturday or Sunday, they will not be a paid holiday.
And that language is all just clarification. What they get is what's in the CWA contract.
Yeah.
In the CWA contract, I believe, if I off the from memory, I could pull it out, but I believe like if the 4th of July falls on a Saturday, then the Friday is the holiday. If it falls on a Sunday, then the Monday is the holiday.
That's what I was wondering.
We didn't duplicate the whole section yet.
Okay, so then it's under that CWA. Good. All right. We already covered that one. You got the 188.
Yeah, Matt, you got that right. That wouldn't require republishing. Sorry, under 72-5A, this referred to our PBA as 188. It's
correct. Yeah.
It's actually
correct.
In three.
No, and we should acknowledge
in
that,
three
yes.
places. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a minor change.
72-6 part-time employees A. I think 72-2G that they mention here should be F, because I don't think there is a G. F. Yeah, we don't go to G.
Actually, I think it should be back to the paid holidays, right? So it should be
F.
Yes, F. Yeah, there must have been a change there.
Yeah. Did you get that, Matt?
I did.
Is that a typo change?
Yes.
That we can make. Okay.
All right. There was a category. I don't know who told me about it. I'm going down now to sick leave, 72-6. Part-time employees, seasonal employees. Is there another category of employee that they just came up with that's now in a CWA contract that's not a seasonal?
Different discussion, but yeah. The answer is yes, but I don't want to get into it. We haven't
agreed to it.
Yeah, we haven't agreed to that, and I don't want to negotiate it here, but your memory is correct that there's been a proposed addition.
So then we would have updated that when and if. Okay. I see. Okay, so down under B, sick leave, it's 3. Definition, it's down under sick leave, number 3. Absence necessary due to circumstances resulting from the employee or a family member of the employee. Do we need to say immediate? Or is it doesn't matter if it's a cousin or if it's...
Isn't this language from the state law that was passed last year?
Yeah, it's taken directly from the... It's simply a resuscitation of the statutory language.
All right. That's fine. I'm almost done. Time needed. Is this all from the state language? Everything all the way down to 5?
Can you say 5?
1, 2, 3.
Yes, correct.
All
yes.
Right, then I'm not going to even.
Yeah, I
ask.
Think that was all the same as the other one.
Okay.
Pretty much everything else on here, except for when you get to the end of the 16-hour personal time, was not changed.
The part-time employees, A, down to B, existing part-time employees shall begin accruing sick leave time on October 28th of 2018. What's that date for?
Oh, that was the, if you recall, we made that change. This body made that change when there was a change in the state law. And that was the effective date. That was the trigger. We hadn't provided that. We were required to do this.
Right.
If you remember, last year, right around in October, we got handed a. Here you go. The people in Trenton told us we had to extend these benefits, and we did so. And we did it. And there was an imposed. Once again, by Trenton, date of effectiveness, and it needed to. They didn't give us much time to do it at all, and they didn't give us any discretion on doing it either.
Okay.
So that's where it comes from. It comes
all right.
From the new law that was enacted last year down in Trenton.
All righty. Okay. When I had one last thing was how about anyone hired on or the compensation benefits reimbursement provisions hereof shall be effective on and after. I mean, should we say something like for employees hired on or after January 1st, 1995?
I mean, there's no change to that language. That's the same language that we adopted in 95. I mean, you have, that's not any change.
So we're just trying to say that this is our policy, effective. But the thing is that these are changes since 1995. So that's why I'm saying, You know,
you get put revised on this date?
Yeah, well, the code is going to reflect that.
Code publisher.
As it does from our last changes back in 2018.
All right, so.
You'll probably see a revised date.
All right. Okay. That's it for me.
So any other comments, discussion? So just to confirm, Matt, are you comfortable with the changes that we've agreed to here?
Yes, but I would advise that we vote on them anyway.
Okay. And then we still will open to a public hearing. Can we vote as a
I can read them if you'd like, unless Bev wants to read them, but I can read them and we can vote on them as a block.
Okay.
That 72.2 be revised just below the title portion to include open parentheses for members of PBA 386 and CWA 1040, see section 72-5, close parens. That section 72.2, capital B, be changed so that option of receiving in lieu of be changed to option of receiving pay in lieu of, and that the second pay be excised. And that the references, all references to PBA Local 188 be revised to PBA 386. That section 72.6 be section capital A be revised so that the references to 72-2F. And that would be it.
Is there a motion to accept the changes as recited?
I'll make a motion to accept the changes as recited.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So now on the changed version, we would open to public comment.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. With that, we're now open for the public hearing on Ordinance 2019-08. Seeing no member of the public coming forward for comments, is there a motion to close public comment? Close public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And that takes us to is there a motion to adopt Ordinance 2019-08 as previously amended?
I'll make a motion to adopt Ordinance 2019-08 as previously amended.
Second.
Roll call?
No.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Next up, we have introduction of two ordinances. The first introduction is Ordinance 2019-09, an ordinance amending Chapter 67 of the Code of the Township of Lebanon, entitled Open Space Trust Fund. The public hearing for this introduction would be held on December 18th, 2019. This is to update our ordinance to conform with the open space referendum that was passed in the November election. The three significant changes are to expand the potential uses of the open space trust fund, to add number 5, development of lands acquired for recreation and conservation purposes, 6, historic preservation of historic properties, structures, facilities, sites, areas, or objects, and the acquisition of such properties, structures, facilities, sites, areas, or objects for historic preservation, or 7 Blue Acres projects, and also to amend point 4 to allow repayment of debt for the newly added purposes. Is there any comment or discussion on the potential introduction?
I think one of the things, reason we're doing this was to strengthen our maintenance issue part, correct?
That's part of it. Yeah. Basically to allow the flexibility that the state allows, both for matching funds and for projects as they emerge.
Gives us a little more flexibility.
Yeah. Exactly.
Since this was originally established, the state allowed more flexibility within it, just to match it.
So is there a motion to introduce ordinance 2019-09?
I'll make a motion to introduce ordinance 2019-09, ordinance amending Chapter 67 of the Code of Township Lebanon for entitled Open Space Trust Fund, public hearing to be held on December 18th, 2019.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Good job,
Mark. Yes. Next, ordinance introduction, an ordinance amending the land development ordinance for the Township of Lebanon, County of Bunnerton, State of New Jersey, more specifically Chapter 230, parentheses Highlands, Chapter 330, parentheses Land Subdivision, and Chapter 400, parentheses Zoning, to update stormwater management standards to meet Highlands Plan conformance. The public hearing would be scheduled on December 18th, 2019. Just a little bit of background on this. This was prepared by the township engineer, reviewed by Gephardt and Kiefer, to bring our current ordinance in conformance with the new Highlands master plan. I checked with our zoning officer who enforces these as the first step, and we actually had the engineer on the phone. Just to give you a little bit of update, they said, as a question, you know, who gets covered by these new stormwater management ordinance amendments, and they said anyone who currently would be exempt from stormwater management requirements, ordinance requirements, will still be exempt. So, as to use the words of the engineer, this does not drag any new people into improvements. The next question was, if they are covered under the current stormwater management ordinance, this will require additional engineering as specified through the various changes. But then the next question was, is this really optional for Lebanon Township? What if we don't bring ourselves into conformance? And the answer was, because we're in the Highlands, and the Highlands is a state statute, for the engineer to give an exemption letter, regardless of our ordinance, his exemption letter is that the project meets the plan requirements of the Highlands Council. So whether we adopt these or not, the engineer still has to enforce the state statutes of stormwater management. By adopting this, this allows us to get grants from the Highland to offset some of the costs of doing this. So there's really no downside to approving these changes, and there's only the ability to get grants. It's kind of a state mechanism to make things happen, so to speak. So with that, any comments, questions from the committee? There's a lot of technical updates. I won't really highlight anything. Or is there a motion to introduce ordinance 2019-10?
I'll make a motion to introduce ordinance 2019-10, amending the land development ordinance for the Township of Lebanon, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey, and more specifically, Chapter 230, Highlands, Chapter 330, Land Subdivision, and Chapter 400, Zoning, to update stormwater management standards to meet Highlands Plan conformance.
Public hearing to be held on December 18, 2019.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Is there a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. That's end of the ordinances for tonight. Resolutions. First resolution, number 94-2019, redemption of a tax sale certificate. Whereas the tax collector did sell tax sale certificate 2001-611 on October 14th, 2016. Whereas the amount of $545 has been collected related to the property Block 69, Lot 6 off of Dutch Hill Road, therefore, be resolved that the treasurer be authorized to prepare and the mayor, treasurer, and clerk authorized to sign a check in the amount of $545. Any discussion?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 94-2019.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Recuse.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next resolution, this comes to us from our municipal clerk at the, I guess, from her, but through the Municipal Clerks Association, a resolution number 95-2019 calling for a study commission to review the Open Public Records Act. noting some of the highlights that the current Open Public Records Act, known as OPRA, was established in January 8th, 2002. The Township of Lebanon has labored under a well-intended law that has spiraled out of control due to the volume and nature of requests, the cost to taxpayers in responding to the requests, and the potential liability in having to pay disproportionate prevailing party attorney's fees should the request turn into litigated matters, as well as the liability in determining which documents shall be released with or without redaction while attempting to maintain individual privacy. Stop going down a little bit. Whereas, with limited exceptions, OPRA has not been amended to address the clear and apparent advancement in technology that has changed the way government records are created, stored, and transmitted. The various interpretive decisions, privacy concerns, abuse for commercial gain, and or the ever-increasing cost to taxpayers. Therefore, be it resolved that the governing body of Lebanon Township appeals to the legislature to form a commission comprised of various experts and stakeholders to study the needs to be fulfilled by the law and the use of the commission's filings to perform a comprehensive reform of OPRA. Any comments, discussion?
Is it make any difference?
You never know. It can't hurt. Is there a motion to adopt Resolution 95-2019?
I'll make a motion to adopt Resolution 95-2019, Open Public Records Act.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Resolution 96-2019. Regarding the Governor's Council on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse, fiscal grant cycle July 2020 to June 2025, whereas the Governor's Council on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse established the Municipal Alliances for the Prevention of Alcoholism and Drug Abuse in 1989 to educate and engage residents, local government, law enforcement officials, and other allies in efforts to prevent alcoholism and drug abuse in communities throughout New Jersey. This resolution is to certify that the Township Committee has applied for funding to the Governor's Council on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse through the County of Hunterdon. This is done in collaboration with the Voorhees Municipal Grant. So this resolution, be it resolved that the Township Committee does hereby authorize submission of a strategic plan for the Voorhees Municipal Alliance Grant for the fiscal year 2021 in the amount of $18,206 from the DEDR, a cash match of $4,551.50, and an in-kind match of $13,654.50. As I mentioned, this is primarily carried out through Voorhees High School Alliance. Any comments or questions? Or is there a motion?
I make a motion to approve Resolution 96-2019, Governor Council on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse Grant for 2021.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next, we have two resolutions related to the Statewide Insurance Fund. The first is Resolution 97-2019, annually Lebanon Township as the local unit, which has joined the Statewide Insurance as the fund, needs to appoint a risk management consultant. This motion, 97-2019, would continue to appoint Grothendieck Associates as the risk management consultant and further authorize the mayor, township clerk, and risk management consultant to execute the risk management consultant's agreement for the fund year 2020 in the form attached here too. Any discussion? Comments or motion?
I'll make that motion to appoint Grothendieck Associates as the local risk management consultant for Resolution 97-2019.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And then Resolution 98-2019, appointing a fund commissioner. Previously, this position had been held by a member of the Township Committee, particularly Committeeman McKee, for a number of years. This Resolution 98-2019 would appoint James Barbario, Township Administrator, as the Fund Commissioner for the Local Unit 2020, and It would also be resolved that Karen Sendors would continue to be the alternate fund commissioner for the local unit for the year 2020. And further resolved that the local unit's fund commissioner is authorized and directed to execute all such documents as required by the fund. Any comments or discussion? Or motion?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 98-2019, appointing fund commissioner.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. On to old business. One item of old business, an update on the DPW floor.
The DPW floor has now been resurfaced, I guess you would say. And
the defect has been repaired.
Yeah, all right. The defect has been repaired. And it's...
Water flows downhill.
That took a while, right?
Yeah, I know. The water, everything flows properly to the drains, awesome. And it's been sealed, and the trucks are now back on it, so it's 100% complete at this point. And ATEC, by all indications, was a pleasure to work with.
Any other comments, questions?
No comment on that. Update, anything with the Bunbale pond down there?
You might have seen that the survey work was done. I know the I don't remember the number, the GP25 general permit.
Right, okay.
Was it 25 or 6?
25.
Okay. I know it's in the process, okay. So no update okay. Other than it's, sure. It's moving along. And by the way, amending our stormwater management ordinance will allow us to get Highlands funding for the survey and work that's the preparation work to be done
with the topsoil and the grass.
Not the actual materials, but for the planning, the engineering.
Thank you.
Any other old business that anyone has?
Nope.
We agreed to insert the administrator's update between all right. The new business.
And I do apologize if I get Matt sick because. Anyway, and with regards to the Holland Township Shared Service Agreement for QPA, I was waiting on the agreement and resolution, but Karen notified me about an hour ago that the clerk sent over the resolution for to extend the contract for another year with the QPA, which is a really good move. Follow-up from the last meeting on Aqua America snow removal to Pine Ridge Road. I spoke to Adam Berger, who's I imagine he's a project manager for Aqua right now, and we had a discussion with regards to Pine Ridge Road that the Township Committee wanted me to follow up with. Would they do the snow removal? And I can tell you they're not interested, number one. And number two, they said they had an agreement with,
Littlebrook Lane.
Yeah, Association. So I'm going to follow up with Adam anyway, but we're in the process of completing the contract for Homestead, so I'm going to end it right there for that.
Could we get a copy of that, whatever agreement?
I'm going to ask him for it, yeah.
Have that.
The Homestead contract or the
other things that I... Yeah, I will. Yeah. I will get it. I'll ask him if, you know, whatever agreement they have, it can afford it to us. I've just been going through things like the collective bargaining negotiations with PBA 386. I just reviewed their contracts, and I can't talk about it now, but I'll speak to the committee that does that. Also, I'm creating a purchasing manual for the township to have at all times, and I'm doing that with accordance to the NJSA 40A:11-1 at SEC. It's basically a manual on how you do your purchases from, you know, when you go to bid. So everybody that does any purchasing would have to sign it that they received this policy and procedure manual going forward. They also created a RFP boilerplate package for the township as well. So when you go out for RFPs, it's pretty much a standard package on what criteria you have to meet for the for an RFP and whatever professional services, you'll have an advertisement. That's all attached to it. It's good to have, let's just put it that way. So you'd always have it in your hands. And also, now that I'm the fund commissioner, and fund doesn't mean I'm taking any money, just so you know, statewide insurance, now I can really get into the policy and procedure manual. I've said in the past, you really need to have a policy and procedure manual in place. And once we get that in place, every 2 years it needs to be amended. So, and the reason why you need that policy procedure manual for any type of situations from, an employee complaining about harassment, about this and that. So you have procedures in place, and the town needs to have that. I don't see that. I looked at the old policy procedure manual, and that I think you become vulnerable if you don't have that. And it protects the elected officials as well, protects the town. So when I get that template, I'll go over it with our attorney as well. I'm going to try to hopefully get it done by the end of January. And that's really about it right now.
The purchasing policy, is it, how many pages is that?
It's like maybe three.
So it's something we can also give to all the standing committees, because purchasing the process is always a question that comes up.
Right. You know, a lot of times.
How do we buy something for our group? How do we utilize the money that's in the budget for us? And
like vouchers, right?
Exactly.
Well, a lot of times it happens, and I've seen it, and I haven't seen it here yet. Maybe it has happened, where they don't even go out and get a quote. They might just...
We needed it.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer that, even if it's... You try to get three quotes anyway. I know you don't have to get three quotes if you're under a certain amount, a percentage of the threshold, but it's always good practice to get three quotes. And you're right, a lot of those committees, and it's not because they just don't understand. And the manual would help them out a lot.
Correct.
It tells them the procedures that, I'll give an example. If you get three quotes, so say you went out to try to get a third quote and they didn't respond, that pretty much can, be a quote. You just didn't get a response. So, and that's something that would help them out as well. So
that will be definitely helpful for them.
Any comments, discussions for the administrator? Then next step, new business. Given the time of year with one meeting left, we have no new business on the agenda. Unless anyone else has anything to bring up.
Should have had 20 things on there just so we have to do it again.
Seeing none, we're on to presentation of vouchers.
None. Unless somebody took mine. I wouldn't even notice.
I took yours. Okay, so this is Monmouth Telecom. This is the annual bill, plus there was added items for some routers that were added for some fax lines. So it's $1,283.98, but the normal usage bill is $611, which is $400 less than the typical previous carrier's bills. So then Hunterdon overhead doors... this is for $1,200. Then we have Hackettstown Firearm, which is $1,840. Then I have Griffith Allied Trunking, which is gasoline for the police, which is $1,205.19.
I have New Jersey State Health Benefit Plan for the month of November premiums, $32,286.74. County of Hunterdon, fourth quarter county tax payment, $701,444.08. County of Hunterdon, third quarter health inspection fees of $1,000. County of Hunterdon, fourth quarter open space tax, $69,676.90. JCP&L Master Electric bill account, $1,979.50. LMR disposal, various... disposal containers from the cleanup day, $3,306.85. That comes out of our Clean Communities grant.
That's it?
Yep.
Okay, I have one for Hoffman Services for $1,500 to remove a rotary broken-down item on a pallet when they were fixing the floor. I have one for Asphalt Paving Systems for asphalt for Mount Airy, Forge Hill, and Dutch Hill, $65,818.39, state contract. I've got one for Bear Reese Engineering for a topographical survey and soil conservation application review fee, $2,975. Got another one from Bear Reese Engineering for the Stormwater Highlands Plan Conformance, $1,755. Another one for Bear Reese Engineering for Anthony Road Professional Services rendered draft plan, preparation of construction specs for an intersection study, $1,040. Got one for the County of Hunterdon Library, the fourth quarter library tax, $70,150.80. Got one for Griffith Allied Trucking, for diesel for the DPW, $3,199.31. Got one for Opdyke Lumber Co. for, this is a reissuance of the check for to reflect the discount we received on the doors, the entry room doors to this meeting room. New price, $20,365.48, which is a savings of $1,245.52 over the previous invoice. Got Reed Systems for a spreader controls and a couple of other items, $1,589.52. One for Warren Materials for some asphalt, $1,134.37.
I have one here for Gephardt and Kiefer for general services for October 2019, an amount of $2,084. I have a second one here for Gephardt and Kiefer, which is a complex matter for rehab contracts, $1,623.90.
So the total voucher list is $1,135.87. Is there a motion to approve the voucher list?
I'll make a motion to approve the voucher list.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Takes us on to a number of correspondence items. First is the Environmental Open Space Commission minutes from their October 7th, 2019 meeting. Anything to highlight? Then there's the Recreation Commission meeting minutes from October 3rd, 2019.
At this point, we've basically gone through the whole year, right up through the December 1st visit with Santa. Everything, they've done a great job this year, the recreation team, on all of this. So, looking forward to great things in the future.
Is there still a vacancy on the recreation committee?
You know, I don't know. We had Meredith come in, but I'm not sure if there's still another
one. I remember
one.
There was a
decline. I'll have to check. Okay.
Next item of correspondence, the tax collector's monthly report, which we typically read out. So receipts related to, this is during the month of November, I'm sorry, for the month ending October 31st. Receipts for related to the tax year 2019, $1,059,101.40. Taxes prepaid for 2020, $3,861.59. Trailer court fee of $2,220. Interest collected of $2,033.10 for total receipts of $1,067,520.09. Which reminds me, I noticed today there was a pretty steady stream of appointments with the property appraisers, appraisal company, professional property appraisals. Everyone should have their letter now for their 2020 new property revaluations. Again, there's a clearly indicated on that letter, it's clearly indicated your 2019 actual taxes, what's called pro forma taxes for 2020. You can compare those two numbers to see if you anticipate any significant change in your taxes. I know we have a handful that are going to be significant. Most seem to be reasonable. Reasonable meaning very minor changes due to the revaluation. Those tax collectors. We have a memo from the Zoning Board Secretary, Gail Glashoff. Last Thursday evening, the Board of Adjustment worked through their 2020 budget proposal and take care of end of year business. The following new board members' terms will expire on December 31st, 2019, and are recommended for reappointment for next year. Gary McQueen for a 4-year term, Andy Kozlowski for a 4-year term, Joe Maurizio for a 4-year term, and Tom Sachs, alternate 2, for a 2-year term. That will be put on the reorg agenda. Curator's report for December.
Well, they're winding down, Mike. They've extended their Must Connect on Watercolor group until the 14th, and then they're opening up on December 14th. They're encouraging everyone to stop by and have a holiday shop. So if anyone's in the area, stop by and see that exhibit. And I think what they're going to do is the rest of the winter, they're going to kind of slow it down and try to categorize and digitize everything. So they have some work in hand for them through the winter.
Thank you. A couple of late correspondence additions, but I didn't, no reason to wait for these. Today, in fact, we received a letter from the New Jersey Department of Transportation informing us that for the next year we've received a municipal aid grant related to our application for the Hollow Road Beam Guide Rail replacement. We've received a grant in the amount of $150,000. I believe this is 3 years in a row that we've received good solid grants out of NJDOT. So that full credit to Warren Gabriel, who identifies the need, and then the engineer writes the grant with them. So that's been very successful. Next, you may have we received a letter addressed to Chief Gale, to the committee, addressed to Chief Gale, thanking him for his leadership and specifically citing Corporal Unkert. This is related to Madison Kinney, the young child who was struck by a car on Route 513 when she, on September 18th, she was struck on September 18th, November 6th. She was released from the hospital and returned home. Corporal Unkert went well above and beyond to arrange to have our own fire department trucks and neighboring fire department trucks and police vehicles and the like basically hold a kind of a parade to bring her home. They can't begin to thank Corporal Unkert enough for his dedication to this event. And so we acknowledge, number one, the as this letter says, thank you to Chief Gale for the leadership and the culture of the department he runs, and specifically to Corporal Unkert for doing such a good thing for this young woman. And really, again, to all our first responders, our EMTs, our fire department, our police department who attended to her that night. It looks like there'll be all the work was very well appreciated and successful. And then one last letter that just came in today as well. I believe it was in the last meeting we had some members of the community come to discuss a storage container, an overgrown yard brought to our attention, and they appreciated that apparently within days that storage container was removed and the situation has improved greatly. I know our zoning officer reached out to that situation. That came in this afternoon. Any other correspondence that anyone else has? Nope. Okay. Then we would open to public comment.
I'll make a motion to open to public comment.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. The floor is now open if anyone would like to make a public comment.
I would like to talk about the property tax evaluation, reevaluation.
Hey, Gene, could you state your name and just an address just so we know it? We know it's you, but just for the...
You need to state for the record.
For the record.
Gene Lang, and I'm at 106 Muskanet Kong River Road, Lebanon Township. And I know that the property... I have met with the representative, and he was a nice young person. But he could really not give me any specific criteria of, I'm going to speak from my specific situation because I know it best as an example, and how it is affecting the entire town. This person told me that the average assessment is up 25%, and mine happens to be up 97%. Which is bad because I'll have to move if I can't figure that out because now I'm... So I'm a little upset by that, especially since the evaluations were last like April or May. So now to get a letter right before in the middle of the Thanksgiving holiday, and when I came up to see him, he told me that all the records are going to have to be done by the first of the year. So we're basically given 4 weeks in the middle of Christmas and Thanksgiving to correct something that's going to hurt a lot of people.
G- just to interject that the timing question, because I've been following it to make sure we could do whatever we could. My understanding is that the state law doesn't allow them to release the numbers until after the November election, because historically there have been situations where governments lean on their tax assessor to try to buy votes and change things by getting it out ahead. So by law, they can't release it until some days, I think it was November 10th, when they could release it. Then by law, the county requires us to have our numbers in by the end of the year, and the county is the one who deals then with the appeals. So you have until May 1st to talk to the county to appeal the decision. So my point is, a lot of this is taken away from this committee right here so that we don't, you know, not just for Lebanon Township, but in general, so that the local governing body can't even attempt to influence local valuations. It goes to the county level, and it's heavily regulated by the state. But now,
I'm not blaming any of you, but I think that in your position, perhaps then you should say something to the county or state, because this is completely unfair. Now, granted, maybe November 10th would have been a better time to get it, to give you 8 weeks, but
they tried. I know they had a technical problem that delayed them a week or so, but anyway.
Seriously, property tax is the only tax that is not based on your consumption or your ability to pay.
Yep.
There's nothing I can do about not using less gas or not drinking alcohol. And this is affecting mostly the seniors, the people who've been here the longest, the people on fixed incomes, and even if someone is on the senior freeze, for example, 1 year. You could take money out of your retirement to have an operation, and your base year for the senior freeze is gone. So these new assessments that are up at 25% are going to affect us quite a bit. And also in the township as a whole, by saying that our properties have increased 25% in value, they're assuring that we are going to be in the highest bracket for the state, which means we will get the least state aid.
Let me just correct that as well, because I've tried to study this as best I can. The assessed valuation is different than the fair market valuation. And so there's been a fact, if you look at the adjustment factor, and I'll take an easy example, our high school district. Six different towns pay into the total district. Depending on when each one of them has valued their properties, the county, the state, puts a correction factor onto that. So Lebanon Township, by rough numbers, our total value of our entire town property is $750 million, roughly. Then the state has looked and said, but you're only valued at 81% of fair market value. So for Lebanon Township, they take our $750 million, they mark us up so the 81% goes to 100% when they divide their budget. So if a neighboring town has a value of 90% and we're at 81%, they try to equalize us all to 100%. The reason the state came and said you have to have an assessor look at every property is to try to reduce the dispersion among the different properties so that we're as close as we can be to 100% to get accuracy when it's spread around. So your point about the state and the like, the state has already been adjusting us with this 81% ratio, if you followed my math a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, I appreciate your concerns, but I want to, you know, some of them are certainly valid and some are just... I've had the same concerns. I've looked into it to try to convince myself it's not, it's as fair as it can be. And the discussion of whether...
it's not really, but that's a larger discussion.
Exactly.
It's also based
whether
on
property
the
tax
average of the state income tax, so the average amount of the people who are living here who file for the state income taxes. That's what makes us the top tier, which means we get zero state money. And we're educating the kids at $18,000 to $20,000 per kid.
Yeah.
And I don't see how that's really fair for a lot of especially the older areas. And now one of the problems when I came up to ask this fellow, so what do you, fair market value, I agree, I said to him, so what is fair market value? Because you can say all you'd like that, oh, your property is worth 25% more. Now he has mine down as a half a million dollars. anybody who'd like to buy my property for $500,000, they're welcome to it. And on paper, that might be good so that I could borrow money against my house. But the truth is, my house is worth nothing because I cannot sell it. So I asked the fellow, so he said it was on three things, comps being the most important, square footage, and condition. I said, what properties did you comp my house with? I don't know. I said, okay, because our township with the topography is quite different from another level place like Reddington Township. So you might think, if you just looked at a map, that places like Nicole Terrace or General Morgan are right over there. I can wave to them as my neighbor, whereas in truth, it would take me a 10-minute drive to get there. Mm-hmm. And that neighborhood is completely different from mine. So there is nothing taken into consideration as far as I'm on the road. My little quarter mile has had, until very recently, 6 abandoned houses, completely abandoned. Do you know what that does to your property value? My one neighbor has now had his on the market for 4 or 5 years, lowering it incrementally. Now he's got it down like $100,000, $150,000 less than what he needed to sell it for. So the fellow could not tell me which comps he was using. Also, and I know what you're going to say, this is from the state. That's what he told me. I have to figure out how to check that out. But nothing like short sales are included. How can that be? That's absolutely the opposite of what should be, because that is what the house is worth. He's also not taking into consideration any of the one of the abandoned houses by me. And it's a nice house. It was built in the 20s, nice fieldstone basement, everything up on the hill. $80,000. $80,000 for a house. Oh, but that wasn't included. The other one up on the other side of me that was abandoned just sold $90,000. How can you not include things like that when you're trying to evaluate someone's property? That's totally on its head. And I know this is also from the state, but he said he's only considering 2 years of debt. And properties have been selling so infrequently, again, right in my section, that's all I can talk about. I mean, maybe like up on Nicole Terrace and General Morgan Way, those nice million-dollar houses, I'm sure you put them up on the market, they'll sell, but not by me. So when you're only taking 2 years of data, you maybe have a couple properties to comp. Look, just like I said, the ones that were abandoned by me that sold, but they're not even including them. So which properties is he comping me with? I don't know, and he cannot give me that information. That's just not right. And so I feel that people need to be given a full comp list, both qualified and disqualified. There is a comp list on their website, but those are only the comps that they're using. While we were up here, I saw his list on his computer, and a good 40% of those that are sold, he's saying, are disqualified. He couldn't tell me which ones were used to comp my property, but 40% of what he had were disqualified. He said that if he could send me that list, he would do so. Now that has been over a week, so I assume he cannot do so. I think that we should have that list. I think that everyone should know specifically which comps were used for our property. I'd like to know what the condition was that they were using. Also, I was very disturbed that he, and I said, well, how up somebody? He said, well, one of our things was we're trying to find out if anyone has, you know, redone an outbuilding. Now, I do have an old stone milk house on my property, but these people, I mean, you know, they're not us. They don't apparently understand about our community and that people do have outbuildings, especially when you live out here and have to maintain everything yourselves. My one neighbor, he has a garage. Now, it's on a separate piece because, you know, the road bisects our properties. His garage went up 500%. I mean, so what is it that these people were let loose doing around our township, like trying to ding people, which, again, is in the older sections of town? And it's just, it's completely unfair.
The
so
only
anyway, we need to have the list of properties, what it was actually judged on, and without providing those specifics, I don't see how there's any accountability in the process, like, at all.
Just one comment I can make to your neighborhood question. I know that they broke Lebanon Township into 70 neighborhoods. I have no idea if they took Muskinecong River Road and included General Morgan or not.
Neither
I don't know what the neighborhoods
the,
are.
Neither does the representative.
So I think all we can do is I've taken your list. We'll pass them through to the company, see what under state law they can do, can't do, you know, follow up with them. It really is out of our hands as a committee. It's a county tax board issue for the specifics. But
right.
But we will take these comments back to our
okay.
service provider to see what can be done and make sure as much as can be done as possible.
And, I mean, so there's no way to increase the time span? Because he told me, now, if you right, as you said, in May 1st with the county, but that's, again, only in comps. And if you're not allowed to take any of the ones that are short sales or anything like that, has been no houses sold in my neighborhood, so I'm not sure what you use.
And I'm not an expert in that at all. I do know, well, I believe, like, to the county tax board, you're not restricted in what you can bring in. They may say, we can't count that for this reason or that, but you can at least present it to them and see if they'll look at it. You know, if a family member sells a house for a dollar, that's the extreme example and meant to be excluded. I don't know your specific situation, you know, your neighbor, I don't know, but... But we'll
they're not sold. They weren't
yeah,
sold.
That's exactly
no,
right.
I know. Your family members, and I agree with you, except now with the tax thing, of course, nobody would do that because
right,
it was
right.
sold so low. Once you sell it, you know, all that for capital gains. So nobody
right.
would really do that anymore. But in the past, I agree with you, there certainly are deeds from many decades ago that it was just a consideration to the family member. And I can understand not taking those into consideration. But, you know, isn't there some state group that y'all belong to, like you just went to the League of Municipalities, where you can go, gee, you know, in a township like ours is pretty darn different from Middlesex or Reddington Township or Somerville or Camden, where everything's all in little neat blocks and you can tell where the neighborhoods are and what's going on. But also, you know, I mean, even with the fact of septics and wells, Brian, I'm sure, knows that nearly every house will get failed for a septic, certainly over 3 years old. So is that taken into consideration when he says, at fair market value, my house is worth of $500,000? Are you taking into consideration the fact that now I would need to get a septic up? My property's very steep. So I don't even know how that would occur because you can't get a backhoe up there. There's not enough room to get up there, and now you need pumps to go up, so I couldn't even do it in the front. So, therefore, it's not sellable. So why is the fair market value so much more than the actual... You see what I mean?
Yeah, I like that's a very good question again.
Fair market value, what you can sell it for,
yep.
and what is fair, seems to be very different definitions than I have, I guess.
It sounds like you did the right thing in starting with PPA. I don't know what they can do, and then the county would be the next one. Yeah.
Because I don't even know what they come from the properties to.
Yeah, that.
Anyway.
Okay.
Thank you.
Seeing no other public comment, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. We will go into executive session. I'm not expecting any action coming out of executive session, but we have, I guess, under the headline of contracts, we will have an update on the PBA contract, an update on the CWA contract, discussion of a contract for the new police chief, discussion of contract matters related to the retiring chief of police, contract matter for our DPW manager, and contract matter for our clerk. That would be Resolution 99, 2019, authorizing